These days, good sense is in short supply. Amid the fear-mongering and fake news, it can be hard to take a breath and tune in to what's real. But every week, The Economist provides clarity on the issues that matter to you. Get a free print copy of The Economist. Text free issue to 78070 for a sensible, more considered view. Text free issue to 78070 now. The Economist. Clear thinking in an uncertain world. SMS charged as per tariff. New subscribers only. Offer ends 31st July 2017. Further T's and C's apply. Visit economist.com/terms/specific offers for more details.
Wednesday, June 7th, 2017, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. You know, we talk sports every single Wednesday, and we do it a little bit different than most sports shows that are out there. We don't really do just the hot takes for the sake of being clickbait. We're not really trying to bring you some nonsense that doesn't make any sense just to see if we can get you to listen that week. We're actually going to apply some common sense to the world of sports. We actually look back at some sports history every now and then, and we will try to make you laugh maybe once or twice a week if we can do that. Isn't that what it's all about? Maybe you're sitting in your cubicle. Hopefully we can get you to laugh. Maybe you're driving in your car. We can help you avoid some road rage. That's all we're looking to do here. Lighten the mood a little bit. There are a couple of ways that you can keep up with or contact the Daily Dose if you'd like to. You can go check out new articles. You can go get a link to the podcast every single week if you just visit us at dailydosesports.wordpress.com. This week, over on our website, an article went up about a surprise move that the Cleveland Cavaliers are looking to make. You might want to go check that out at dailydosesports.wordpress.com. Got a question? Maybe you have a comment. Maybe you need some advice on something. You can hit us up on any subject. You can find us on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or you can find us over on Twitter or Facebook. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports, DALYDOSE, Daily Dose Sports. If you follow us on Twitter or Facebook, of course, you're going to get updates. You're going to get some of my stupid thoughts, and you're going to get links to articles and to the podcast. Today on the show, you know, the NBA Finals between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors is headed to Cleveland for Game 3 tonight. Going to lay out what we have seen so far and take a look at what might be happening next. You know, there's another team in the NBA that suddenly seems to be interested in winning. In Major League Baseball, of course, Mike Trout is the best player in baseball. I think we can all agree on that, can't we? But now he's out 6 to 8 weeks with a thumb injury after he slid against the Marlins last week. So with Mike Trout out, who is the best player in Major League Baseball right now? And last week, we discussed NFL OTAs and whether or not they mean anything. Of course, they don't. But today, we are going to give you some of the biggest NFL offseason stories that actually don't really mean much of anything. Plus, of course, we do have a very special Daily Dose Top 5. It's a very popular segment on the show. You never know which way the Daily Dose Top 5 is going to go, but you have to make sure that you stick around for that. In the NBA, you know, it sounds like the Los Angeles Clippers could finally be interested in winning. No, I know. It's surprising. That kind of sounds crazy, doesn't it? But they finally listened to the advice given right here on the Daily Dose. We've been saying it for years. And they stated, finally, after listening to us, must have went back and found an old show. It's the only thing I can figure out. Of course, you can find old Daily Dose episodes over at blogtalkradio.com. They must have finally done that. Because the Los Angeles Clippers came out and stated that they were going to try to hire Jerry West away from Golden State to come work in some sort of advisory role in their front office. Wait a second. You're telling me that Doc Rivers isn't a good GM? Is that what you're saying? You're telling me that a history of grabbing players that had like one decent showing against Doc in like one random game, but then they never really did anything in their entire career other than that has not really worked out so well for the Clippers? That's kind of weird. Oh, and also, you know, hiring your son, that's not very good either. Now, you may wonder why they would be interested in an 80-year-old man being involved in their personnel decisions. You might be thinking that. What in the world would you want Jerry West for? He's closing in on 80. Why would we bring him in any sort of role? I'll tell you why. Think back to what Jerry West has done as a player personnel guy in the NBA. When he was the GM of the Los Angeles Lakers, he talked Shaquille O'Neal into leaving Orlando and coming to Los Angeles. That's pretty solid. Oh yeah, then he traded Vlade Divac for an 18-year-old kid named Kobe Bean Bryant. Yeah, that worked out pretty well, didn't it? Then he left Los Angeles kind of a bitter disagreement there. He left Los Angeles, went to Memphis. And no, Memphis never did win a title. But he did get Pau Gasol. He did get Jason Williams. He drafted Drew Gooden, Matt Barnes, Kendrick Perkins, Kyle Lowry, and Mike Conley. Say what you will about Memphis. For a few seasons there, they were contending in a very, very difficult conference. Over on the West Side, Memphis was at least a player in those playoffs for a few years when Jerry West was there. I realize they didn't win anything real big. They were in the middle of it. Then, of course, he went to Golden State, and he made kind of just a weird move. Took some kid named Klay Thompson over another guy named Kevin Love. Oops. Oh, wait. Yeah, that worked out pretty well, didn't it? So, yeah, if you're an NBA team that actually wants to go win, you go get Jerry Allen West because he's the smartest man in NBA personnel history. No, I give the Clippers a little bit of credit for going and saying they at least were interested in him. I don't know how interested they really were, but at least they said it. Now, unfortunately, I think that the sour relationship with the Lakers, and there do still seem to be some bitter feelings there, will keep West from going back to Los Angeles. I think it would be too much work being the same building as his former team, seeing the same people from that former team. He loved the Lakers. Jerry West wanted to stay with the Lakers. They didn't seem to reciprocate those feelings. Jerry's son, Ryan, is actually currently the Lakers' director of player personnel. But once again, the Lakers kind of screw the Clippers, and the Clippers are going to get nothing out of this, but at least they were interested. At least they were kind of throwing out some lines and seeing if Jerry West might be interested in coming back. Doesn't look like he will, and the Clippers can just continue to suck. The other news coming out of Clipperland, this is big news. I don't know if we need the music. This is big news, is that apparently Chris Paul might be interested in signing with the San Antonio Spurs this summer.
What?
No, really. It's true. See, this is what counts for sports news these days. Remember a few weeks ago, we said we missed sports news? I'm going to read you the quote. This is from ESPN. Here is what the quote is on this article. All-star point guard Chris Paul intends to give the San Antonio Spurs serious consideration in free agency this summer in the event he decides to leave the Los Angeles Clippers, according to league sources. First off, who's the source? Like just a guy walking down the street? Let me see if I have this right. You're telling me that after 6 years with the Clippers and winning literally not one single thing, Chris Paul might be inclined to listen to an offer to go play for a team that has won 5 championships? Easy, ESPN. This kind of information is almost too much for me to process at once. I can't get my head around this all at one time. Come on, ESPN, you're laying it on pretty thick here. Next thing, you're going to be reporting that LeBron James is like super against racism or something. Come on, let us take a breath. You're giving us too much at once. That's news these days. I know we make fun of it every week. That is what's passing as news these days. The NBA Finals now, between the Cleveland Cavaliers and those Golden State Warriors, is headed back to Cleveland for Game 3. The Warriors, of course, up 2-0. Looking at those two games, I watched both of those games. I thought Game 1 was a perfect example of how good Golden State is at exploiting matchups. And also, I thought it was a perfect example. I hate to say this, and I know there's people out there that just hated when Kevin Durant left Oklahoma City. I didn't like it either, but I understood it. It's a perfect example of why he left.
Durant handling. Durant down the lane! And a big smile as he backpedals up the court. That was too easy.
I hate to say it, but this team knows how to play. They're unselfish. Durant found himself going coast to coast in Game 1, just getting the ball off the rim, taking it to the other end, and no one stepped up and guarded him. Why? Because the Cavaliers were so busy covering shooters in the corner that they just ran to shooters and said, okay, find these shooters, find the shooters, find Steph, find Klay. Kevin Durant's like, yeah, what about me? You guys kind of forgot about me, didn't you? They ran a little bit of screen and roll, and it is interesting to watch this series. Because Cleveland runs so much screen and roll stuff, if you watch Golden State on offense, they really don't run that much screen and roll stuff. They run like motion offense. It's constant moving. It's constant passing. They don't really run a lot of screen and roll, but when they did, they found Steph Curry on like Tristan Thompson. And as soon as you saw that matchup, you saw Steph Curry just attack it. They found Kevin Durant posted up against Kyrie Irving or against Kevin Love, and you saw Kevin Durant just attack them as soon as he saw it. You can tell that is one thing that I'm assuming Steve Kerr is telling them. When you see that mismatch, we are going to exploit it immediately. And let's be honest, Kevin Durant is a mismatch for pretty much most of the NBA. He's just too big. He's too long. He can shoot. He can post you up. That little turnaround jumper he has, you can't do anything with that. He's 7 feet tall. He can get that three-point shot off whenever he wants to. And he's playing on a team that doesn't seem to care who takes the shots. They move the ball. They pass. They cut. And I don't know if they've played that well yet. You've had a couple good performances by players. It's not like they've all been firing on all cylinders. That hasn't been the case. And then in game two, it was just more of the same. You know, if game one was rough for the Cavaliers and their fans, game two had to be worse because you know that they were thinking, okay, we weren't very good defensively, and they didn't turn the ball over at all. But we're going to be better in game two. The Warriors had just 4 turnovers in game one. So in game two, the Warriors commit 20 turnovers. That's a huge difference. That's 16 more possessions. The problem is that Cleveland is committing 20 turnovers of their own in each game. You know, basketball, I know sometimes we get basketball to be this really, really complex game. I guess it can be. But here's the most simple way to look at basketball. Just break it down the easiest we can get it, okay? On offense, get better shots than your opponent. Get higher percentage shots than your opponent, okay? Simple enough, right? Well, right now, Cleveland is shooting 39% in the two games combined. The Warriors are shooting 47% in the two games combined. Okay, that's the offensive side. Over on defense, you have to get stops so you get more shots than your opponent. Again, we're breaking it down as simple as we can get. If you get better shots and you get more shots, you're probably going to win most games, right? The Cavaliers right now, through the first two games, are averaging 93 shots per game. It's okay. It's not bad. It's not great. The Warriors are averaging 98. That means 5 more shots, and we know how deadly Golden State is from three-point range. Folks, that's a recipe for disaster. Not only are they getting better shots, they're getting more of them. But you know what is standing out to me so far about the NBA Finals? There are two players in the NBA Finals that just look like they have been waiting for this series. Just get me to this series, and I will do the rest. First guy, of course, is Kevin Durant. Because I'm looking at Kevin Durant, I'm watching the look in his eyes, and you can see him thinking, you do not have a player on the floor that can guard me. Kevin Love can't guard me. Tristan Thompson can't guard me. Kyrie Irving sure can't guard me. J.R. Smith? Nope. Iman Shumpert? Nope. And yes, even LeBron James cannot guard Kevin Durant. You can't stay in front of him. KD is averaging 36 points, 10 rebounds, and 7 assists per game. This is why Kevin Durant went to Golden State, to be in this position. And you can see he is feeling the moment. There was a point in game two where he blocked Kevin Love's shot, took it down to the other end, and found himself squared off with LeBron James, just blew by him and scored the layup. And you can just see Kevin Durant going, no, this is the moment I wanted. I wanted to be on a team that was unselfish, that knew how to play in the NBA Finals, and here I am, and I'm taking advantage of it. Second guy is Steph Curry. And I don't know that he shot the ball extremely well, but he's getting 30 points a game. He's getting 10 assists a game, and he's getting 8 rebounds per game. He's actually out-rebounding Tristan Thompson right now. And you can just see Steph Curry. You can feel it. He's going, oh, you thought that was me last year when I was all banged up and not 100%? No, this is me now, and you can't stop me. You've seen him put LeBron on roller skates a couple times now. It's not an accident. Durant and Curry have points to prove, and right now they're proving them. Now, is the series over? I know that's the question on everybody's mind. Is this series over? Not quite. Because Golden State has just done what they were supposed to do. Honestly, they've won their two games at home. That was what they were supposed to do. I expect the Cavs to win game three, I would think, wouldn't they? Maybe? Possibly? And if they do, then, you know, game four is going to get real interesting. They have to win one, but they really need some people to step up. Tristan Thompson right now is invisible. J.R. Smith is completely irrelevant, and the bench is non-existent. For as good as LeBron has been at times, LeBron James is a minus 33 in the series right now. No one's getting it done. You can act like LeBron's getting it done because he's putting up some points, and he is putting up some points, and sometimes he's the only guy putting up any points. This team just can't defend, and they can't defend the Warriors whatsoever. I expect them to win a game. Can they win four of the next five games? I don't think so. I don't know if they can win one. Two might be pushing it. I don't think they can win four, that's for sure. So I thought game two, you know, was just paramount to them after their showing in game one. Game two is even more deflating. I mean, that was just rough. You thought you're going to force some turnovers, you're going to play a little bit better defensively. Golden State goes out and hangs 130 on you? That had to just kind of take the air out of Cleveland and their fans. Speaking of deflating, you just know that Mike Brown kind of wants to be the head coach if the Warriors wrap it up in Cleveland, don't you think? I mean, Steve Kerr came back for game two, and good for Steve Kerr. No, that's awesome. Cool to see him back out there. He's suffered with some issues, spinal fluid leaking. It's not a good situation. But you know Mike Brown has to be like, come on, Steve. Let me beat these chumps in Cleveland. They fired me, man. Just let me do this. It's interesting. Is there anyone that keeps LeBron James from winning titles like Mike Brown? Oh! If there is, I don't know who it is. Over in the NHL, the Pittsburgh Penguins actually got outplayed in game one. Nashville dominated most of that game, except for like 4 minutes, and they gave up three quick goals, and they never could get those goals back. Kind of let that one get away, because you're not going to outplay the Pens at home very often. It kind of felt like in game one they did, but they still didn't get the win. Game two was tight, and then Nashville goalie Pekka Rinne kind of forgot that playing goalie meant keeping goals out of the net. I think he was thinking he was supposed to let the goals into the net. To be fair to Rinne, most of those goals did come on odd man rushes, but wow, he was struggling. You give up those to Pittsburgh, good luck. And then in game three, you just knew Nashville was going to be fired up to host a playoff game. And they started a little bit slow. Pittsburgh scored the first goal, but they got it going. And you saw what Nashville is capable of. The defensemen are chipping in goals. They're killing off penalties. The Predators ended up winning game three 5-1. And you know those locals were in rare form. They're smuggling things in to throw on the ice. They're acting like they know anything whatsoever about hockey. And do you know how I know this? I know this because Denver was Nashville now back in the 90s. And I'm telling you right now, Nashville, enjoy this ride because it is. It's an amazing ride. It truly is. You haven't had to bleed and die with your team yet. You're just getting all the frosting on the cake. You haven't had any burnt cake yet. Now, enjoy this while you can, Nashville. I'm telling you. Because here's the thing. You have about a 5-year window, and then you'll go back to sucking and not caring and wishing that the Volunteers or the Titans would do something because the Predators aren't doing anything. Nashville, I feel your pain. Of course, we do have some old news that we just haven't talked about here on the dose yet. Yes, Tiger Woods was arrested for a DUI. I know. It's old news. He was driving at 3 a.m., under the influence of something. They say it wasn't alcohol because I guess supposedly on the breathalyzer it came back zero, but clearly it was something because he was asleep at the wheel. And then if you watch the tape of when he actually got pulled over, Tiger struggled to even say the alphabet. Now, that would be fine if he was an Arizona State guy, but that's not the case. Tiger went to Stanford, so of course they hauled him in. Hey, Tiger Woods is a lost guy right now. This is clearly a man with some issues. And I suppose that the PGA could punish him. I mean, he does still play within the PGA, right? But I mean, well, what's the point? He's not playing anyway. Honestly, if the PGA wants to punish Tiger Woods, make him play. Tiger, you've been found guilty of driving under the influence. I hereby sentence you to play in a 36-hole foursome with LeVar Ball, Stephen A. Smith, and Skip Bayless. Now that would be punishment. But you know, here's what stood out to me. This was a guy, Tiger Woods. He was raised from the time that he was a baby to be a golfer. This is what he was born and raised to do, to be a star. And now it seems like with golf gone, it just doesn't seem like he has anything to fall back on in life. And he's struggling. He hasn't learned how to function without golf. And now, of course, due to his health and the back problems, it doesn't seem like he has that safety nest of the golf course. Without golf, Tiger Woods is a lost soul. Wait, let me correct that just a little bit. Just a tiny bit. Without hookers and golf, Tiger Woods is a lost soul. If I had told you back in, let's say 2000, 2001, that come 2017, you would rather have John Daly than Tiger Woods, you would have said that I had mixed up my pain medications. Because there's no way anybody saw that one coming. We thought John Daly would be long in a body bag by now. He's actually a better golfer at this point than Tiger Woods is. And I honestly, I never saw that coming. What are the most overhyped stories of the NFL offseason so far? We've got a few. Plus, we do have a very special Daily Dose Top 5 coming up. You do not want to miss it.
Britain is changing fast. Political uncertainty is putting us all under pressure. It's hard to keep up with what politicians say and what they really mean. But it doesn't have to be a struggle. Every week, The Economist filters out the noise to bring you a more considered view. Request a free copy today. Text free issue to 78070. This election will affect us all for years. So we're offering a print copy of The Economist free to everyone in the UK. Text free issue to 78070 now. The Economist. Clear thinking in an uncertain world. SMS charged as per tariff. New subscribers only. Offer ends 31st July 2017. Further T's and C's apply. Visit economist.com/terms/specific offers for more details.
Dear podcast listener, we accept the fact that we have to sacrifice not only our Wednesdays, but our Fridays as well to entertain you. But we think you are crazy to make us do a promo telling you who we think we are. When you listen to our podcast, you think you know who we are, in the simplest terms, in the most convenient definitions. But what we found out is that each one of us is a dork.
I had the basket case.
And I'm a princess.
And I'm a pothead.
Does that answer your question? Sincerely yours, The Prime Podcast. Find out more at theprimepod.com. Think of the tender things
that we were working on. Table Reads, now part of the Rogue Intel Podcast Network.
Hey everybody, this is Trevor, and I'm here with Sean.
Hi.
And we're from Table Reads. Do you know what Table Reads is?
No.
Exactly.
I don't know what it is.
Even Sean doesn't know what it is, and he created it. Well, Sean, if you had to guess, which clearly you do, what do you think Table Reads is?
I would think it's a show about a fat guy and a skinny guy reading some bad scripts that never got to be made into movies.
Experience the worst Hollywood has to offer with readings of the scripts you never wanted.
You know, the thing I love about you, Sean, ever since we were kids, is you're always good at guessing. You nailed it.
Yay!
Yay!
Table Reads. Every Tuesday, right here on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network, or visit tablereadspodcast.com.
Of course, we have had some overhyped stories in the NFL this season. I'm going to get to those in just 1 second. Some news coming out of Hollywood, though. Did you see that Al Pacino is apparently set to play Joe Paterno in an HBO movie called Scent of a Pedophile? That's not what it's going to be called. I don't think that's true. Part of that's true. Al Pacino is set to play Joe Paterno. I don't know about the whole name of the movie. I don't know what the name of the movie is going to be, but yes, he is going to play. Here's a question. Does Al Pacino, does he have to poop his pants and then run off the field during the big game?
Hoo-ah!
I don't know if I'm down with an HBO movie about Joe Paterno. I might need a little more time to process that, but that is the news coming out. HBO has done a good job making some decent, I don't know about that one, though. That's got a few things coming up on my radar, like a few red flags are standing out to me, a movie about Joe Paterno. Not sure I'm ready to watch that, I'm going to be honest. We'll see what happens there. Little bit of NASCAR news. Yes, we are going to talk some auto racing. Been talking some auto racing lately. Yeah, don't expect that to last. I'm telling you that right now. That probably will not last. But you might not have seen this. You know, Dale Earnhardt Jr., who is a huge Washington Redskins fan, he was told by his car owner that his sponsor actually planned for him to drive a car with the Philadelphia Eagles logo on it. An Eagles spokesman actually tweeted out a photo of the car. It was green with black and like an Eagles logo on the back fender. Now, as a Washington fan, Dale Earnhardt Jr. was not thrilled about having to drive a car with his rival's colors on it. I mean, I wouldn't want to do that. A lot of us wouldn't want to do that. But he got off the hook when it was announced that it violated an NFL rule. There actually is an NFL rule out there that says team logos cannot be used as promotion of another sport. Whew. Sidestepped a potential landmine there, didn't he? Not only did he not have to roll in the rival's colors, which is huge. But he also avoided finishing near the back of the pack and most likely getting beat by a car with the Cowboys logo on it. Nicely done, Dale Jr. All right, let's talk a little bit of overhype in the NFL. You know, most overhyped stories of the offseason so far, we love the NFL so much that even when it isn't newsworthy, we manufacture things to talk about. Like, we're just looking for, is there any way we can somehow get the NFL back into the conversation? You've heard probably every one of these stories we're going to talk about. They've been told to you as news. They aren't really news. Here's a few of the most overhyped stories of the NFL offseason so far.
Don't believe the hype.
First up, this one's a little bit new. Will Tony Romo leave the broadcast booth to go save the Dallas Cowboys this next season? Here's how it's being spun to you. It seems that the Dallas Cowboys have not given another player Tony Romo's locker.
What?
Oh, I know. Amazing, isn't it? And reportedly, they are not going to assign his number 9 jersey to anyone either. Now it's getting hot. Now we've got something, right? Now, I don't mean to be a cynic, but couldn't it be that they just haven't gotten around to send the janitor over to sweep up all the Band-Aids and Bactine from in front of Romo's locker? Instead of like some sort of crazy conspiracy? Now, I'm assuming Jerry Jones isn't going to give away the number 9 jersey anytime soon. Like, that was Romo's jersey. I'm guessing that they'll probably hold on to that for a little while. But of course, hearing that led to speculation by the press that Romo could be doing some color commentating. And then if Dak Prescott got hurt, Romo would leap from the CBS broadcast booth. He would don his still available uniform and save the day for the Dallas Cowboys. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Sounds like something from like right out of a movie, like HBO. Maybe they should be making a movie about this. That sounds impressive. Guy's up in the broadcast booth. He's had this great career, but he had to give it up. And quarterback gets hurt. He jumps out of the broadcast booth and saves the day for his home team.
Don't believe the hype.
Of course, in the movie, I'm not sure that the hero slips over the wall going to the field, breaks his back for like the 9th time, and soils himself right there in high definition for everyone to see. Yeah, I'm not sure that that's going to play so well, because that's exactly how that would go if they did ask Tony Romo to do that. Here's the thing about Tony Romo. I truly believe if he could play, he would be playing. I don't think it's a matter of finding the right situation. I think his back is so bad he can't play, and that's the end of it. We keep trying to get these guys back out onto the field. Keep trying to find ways. How could Tony Romo still get out there? Well, if Dak Prescott got hurt and then his backup got hurt and the punter got hurt, second wide receiver got hurt, Tony Romo might be the next guy in line. Never mind. Forget it. Okay, here's another overhyped story.
Don't believe the hype.
We just talked about this one a couple weeks ago. Giselle outs Tom Brady. Not that kind of outs. It's not what it sounds like. That'll probably come in another 10 years on a very special edition of 2020. That's not what I'm talking about. This was when Tom Brady's wife, of course, said that Tommy has had multiple concussions every single season. And the media ate it up. We got it slammed down our throat for like a week. We are coming to you live from outside the Brady house. Dr. Giselle says that her husband, Tom Brady, has suffered multiple changes in intracranial pressure, blood flow, and anoxia. Okay, who made Giselle the authority on concussions? Does Giselle have any real medical background? Or is this just because he's been kind of grumpy around her lately? Like, I'm not sure how much she truly knows. And they have been married for like 9 years. So maybe he's a little irritable. You're lucky he's not actually tacking a photo of Bridget Moynihan to her forehead every morning. It doesn't mean he has concussions. It might just mean he's kind of irritable. I'm not sure that we really have a doctor on that case. Little bit of an overhyped story for me. Next overhyped story of the NFL offseason. Apparently, the Seattle Seahawks have some drama in their locker room. I'm telling you, try not to gasp when I tell you these things. Yes, apparently, Richard Sherman wanted to be traded. He doesn't like Russell Wilson. And he thinks Pete Carroll is a bit of an idiot. And the defense doesn't like the offense. The offense doesn't like the defense. This is a bona fide soap opera in Seattle going on, folks. It's kind of surprising. Because it seems that a team with, let's say, Michael Bennett, Richard Sherman, Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson, Doug Baldwin, and remember they used to have Golden Tate, they used to have Marshawn Lynch, they used to have Percy Harvin. It seems that a group with those personalities in it has some drama. Shocking, I know. Especially when you consider that gut-wrenching loss that they did have in Super Bowl 49. Okay, so this team argues a little. Considering that mess and the personalities in this group, I'll be honest, I'm kind of shocked nobody's gotten stabbed yet. So these people argue a little. Big deal. I've got news for you. Every team argues. Some of the best teams I was ever involved with had some drama, and they were still really good when they hit the playing surface, whatever it might have been. So until someone gets shanked or traded, honestly, the stuff going on in the Seattle locker room, it's just not really news.
Don't believe the hype.
I'm not saying it won't happen. Not the trade. I mean the stabbing. The trade. These guys' contracts don't really lend themselves to being traded. So we can talk about trades all we want. I know there was talk, hey, Richard Sherman might be headed to Dallas. Well, yeah, except for, do you realize what Dallas would have to give up to get him? That's not going to work. But you can get back to me if someone actually gets skewered in the locker room or something. Then I'd be interested in it. But until then, it's not really news. It's just overhyped that's being sold to us as news.
Don't believe the hype.
Got a couple more overhyped stories for you. And the first one is Raiders quarterback Derek Carr wants a new contract. Yep, it's just overhype. But that's not what's being told to us. What we're hearing is if he doesn't get something done soon, there could be some very serious problems. They need to get this done prior to the season so that they can avoid a major distraction.
Don't believe the hype.
Well, except that his contract doesn't actually expire until after the season. So, like, it might be nice to get him signed now, but the Raiders don't have to get him signed now. It's not a must. If it gets to next year, they'll just franchise him next year. And it isn't like they're not going to pay him literally however much money he wants. He can ask for a blank check if he wants to, because we all saw last year what happened when the Raiders didn't have Derek Carr. They got beat by Brock freaking Osweiler. I don't care if you have to give Derek Carr every single dollar in your salary cap. You give it to him. He's clearly worth it. And I'm going to go ahead and assume that the Raiders are going to give Derek Carr the richest contract in NFL history. It's just a matter of when. It's either now or it's after the season. But they're going to do it because they kind of have to. Don't get wrapped up and start to believe, well, they've got to get this deal done now. Or what? Or they do it later. It's not really that big of a deal. Just more overhype.
Don't believe the hype.
And of course, the biggest overhype story of the NFL offseason, at least so far, there's more coming. We all know that. Because we still have a month or two before things actually start to happen in the NFL, honestly. We had the OTAs. That's not enough. That's just guys running around in sweatpants. That doesn't do anything. So the biggest overhyped story of the NFL offseason, of course, and I'm going to have to say this one slow because I don't want you to pass out from shock. If you're not sitting down, you might need to sit down right now. But apparently, a quarterback that couldn't beat out Blaine Gabbert is struggling to find a job.
What?
No, seriously. This is news. Oh, I know. I know. I've heard it too. Back in 2012, he led the 49ers clear to the Super Bowl, and now he can't even get a job. Well, here's the problem, though. And I did see, we talked about it a little bit, Seattle had discussed maybe signing Colin Kaepernick. They brought him in. They ended up signing Austin Davis instead. But from what I understand, the reason for that was the fact that Kaepernick doesn't seem to want to be a backup. And he's not talented enough to be a starter. And he still wants starter money. So who's going to sign him? And if you want to bring up what happened back in 2012 and the things that he did, let's think about some other things that took place back in 2012. The MVP back in 2012, Vikings running back Adrian Peterson. I mean, he's had a good career, solid. But things have changed since then, haven't they? A little bit different now. Offensive rookie of the year in 2012? Yeah, that was Robert Griffin III. I notice he doesn't have a job either. I don't see any 30 for 30s planned for it, though. Executive of the year in 2012, Colts GM Ryan Grigson. Things have changed a little bit since then, haven't they? Super Bowl MVP was Joe Flacco. Do you see how things change quickly in the NFL? Because they do. It's a different world now. And yes, Colin Kaepernick doesn't have a job. I don't know if he's going to get one.
Don't believe the hype.
So now that, let me see if I can get this straight. Angels outfielder Mike Trout is out. Whatever team he plays for. He is the best player in Major League Baseball. It might be a little bit of an argument, but I'd say pretty much everybody agrees it's probably Mike Trout. So now that he's out, the best player in baseball is out. Who's the best player? Because in another week or two, there is literally going to be nothing else for you to watch on TV. You need a few players to keep in mind to tune in for, because baseball, unlike football, unlike basketball, it's not a national sport. It's more of a regional sport. Like, I don't really care what the Philadelphia Phillies are doing. I live in Denver, so I watch the Colorado Rockies. And when I say I watch them, I mean that I don't really watch them, except for when there's nothing else literally on. And if I can stay awake to watch them, then I watch them. But see, you might be more apt to watch a game or two if you're going to be tuning in to see the best players in the league. Even though they're not your team, even though they're not in your region, you might tune in. If you say, hey, well, I know that they have one of the best players in the league, I might tune in and check him out. I've got a list of players that, at least right now, looking like probably the best players in baseball. And a few of them might not be names that you think of, but I'm going to give you a few players to check out. If you're just scrolling through the channels, wishing you had something to watch, please, can we just have the NFL draft be reshown? Can we just have a replay of the combine? No, you might be able to tune into some baseball and not fall asleep, at least until some of the later innings. Okay, first player that can be on this list in consideration for one of the best players in baseball. There are a few different guys I could go with at number five here. Because Ryan Zimmerman, he's off to a strong start. So is Freddie Freeman with Atlanta. I'm going to actually go with a rookie as one of the players you might consider tuning in for. Yes, I'm going with Yankees rookie right fielder Aaron Judge. Sure, he's probably going to hit the wall down the stretch because that's just what rookies do. And it's such a long season. But how can you argue with what Aaron Judge is doing right now? He's batting .326 with a .431 on base percentage. He already has 18 home runs. He leads the American League in home runs and in runs, and he's second in walks and slugging percentage. I'm telling you right now, Aaron Judge may have already won the Rookie of the Year. It's not even July yet, but that's how well he's playing. If you get a chance to tune in and see the Yankees, and they're on pretty much more than anyone else, check out Aaron Judge. It's not going to be a waste of your time. Yes, I'm going to go homer on my next one. I feel bad even doing this. On my next player that is, at least right now, contending to be the best player in baseball. I can't really argue with what Colorado Rockies center fielder Charlie Blackmon is doing. He leads the National League in RBIs, and he's the Rockies' leadoff hitter. Plus, he's tied for the lead in the National League in runs. Yes, he has the world's ugliest beard. And the Rockies, I'm just assuming, they're probably going to fade down the stretch like a summer blockbuster movie plot. But Blackmon right now, he is playing excellent baseball. He would be worth your time to stop and check out. I'm going to put a pitcher on this list. What's going to be weird about it is his name is not going to be Clayton Kershaw, because right now no one is throwing any more effectively than Houston Astros pitcher Dallas Keuchel. He is 9-0 as a starter with 69 strikeouts, leads the AL in wins, leads the AL in ERA. I can just keep going and going and going. Now, he did take some time off with that pinched nerve at his neck, but he is returning. He's already looking strong. He is the first Houston Astros pitcher to start 9-0 since Roger Clemens. Yeah, it's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive stuff. And, big key, no perjury charges just yet. Nice. Doing things well, Dallas Keuchel. Last two guys on my list contending for best player in Major League Baseball. The Arizona Diamondbacks are another surprise team so far this season, and a big reason is first baseman Paul Goldschmidt. Not only does Goldschmidt lead the NL in runs, he's second in the NL in walks. He's a really sneaky base runner. First basemen don't steal bases. They aren't fast. And Goldschmidt isn't particularly fast either, but he does steal bases. He's already stolen 12 bases. He makes pitchers worry about his base running ability. It's not that he has blazing speed. No, he's just smart. And he has a chance to be the first baseman since Jeff Bagwell to hit 40 home runs and steal 20 bases. Got to put Paul Goldschmidt on the list. But if I have to pick one player with Mike Trout out, one guy to start a team around, one guy to draft, one guy to watch, if there's anybody you're going to tune into baseball to watch, how can it be anyone other than Bryce Harper? Yes, he can be obnoxious, but man, is Bryce Harper talented. He's hitting .328. He's had 15 home runs. You know, he didn't have a great 2016 season. But when we look back, it might have been because of a shoulder injury. Because you can see he's been back in a big way this year. The biggest reason that Bryce Harper is probably currently the best player in Major League Baseball, he's clutch. And he's just getting better. He's hit 2 walk-off home runs already this season. No, he can't throw a batting helmet. I think we all saw that. But he is currently, for now, the best player in baseball. When Mike Trout comes back, we can argue that. Right now, I don't think there's any argument whatsoever. Do you realize that college football is 80 days away? True story. No, it's true. August 26th. Now, August 26th, we won't actually have a full slate of games that weekend, but we will have college football in 80 days. Real games. Not preseason games. These actually count. Granted, that very first weekend on the 26th, there aren't that many great matchups. But we do have football. A couple okay matchups. Colorado State versus Oregon State. Okay. Stanford versus Rice. Not great. Portland State versus BYU. But, the next week, in just 87 days, you got to check out some of these matchups we have coming in college football. And I know, as we get closer, we'll break down a few of these. But I'm telling you, we have some really, really good matchups during the first true week of college football. That next weekend is pretty good. It's like the 3rd of September. Check out these matchups coming in that first true full week of college football. Colorado versus Colorado State. Okay, I know. I realize it's more of a regional rivalry, not a national rivalry. But last year, Colorado did finish the season ranked in the top 20. Okay, so this is just going to be an easy blowout for the Buffs, right? Not so fast. Remember, Colorado State is going to be playing Oregon State that previous week. You know, that first week that's just 80 days away? If they were to win that, if they were to beat Oregon State, they'd have a little bit of momentum. And they'd get those first week adjustments out of the way. Colorado had better be very, very careful with the Rams in their first game. Let me give you another few games. Navy versus Florida Atlantic. Wait. Hear me out. I know it's not a marquee matchup, but we know that Navy is always going to be scrappy. They run that wishbone offense. It's kind of hard to prepare for. And now we get to see what Lane Kiffin is going to do right out of the gate in his fourth stint as a head coach. The first three, let's be honest, haven't been pretty. I have no idea what to expect. I don't know what he's going to do at Florida Atlantic, but I'm probably going to watch a little bit of it. Navy versus Florida Atlantic, not bad. Okay, here's another one. It's not great. Then we'll get to the better ones. Maryland versus Texas. We have a battle of two new head coaches here. Former Michigan defensive coordinator under Jim Harbaugh, DJ Durkin, actually takes over at Maryland. And then former Houston head coach Tom Herman took over at Texas. Texas hasn't been relevant in like 7 or 8 years, and Herman is going to be expected to get them back quickly. And I mean, honestly, I think he can do it. And he better do it soon, because Longhorn fans aren't exactly known for their patience. Do not lose to Maryland here. It will not go well for you if you do. Every year, it seems like we're getting some early, cool, out-of-conference matchups. And I really like this next one. Michigan versus Florida. Jim Harbaugh and Michigan, they really stumbled down the stretch. You know, after they were in the national championship picture, they lost 3 of their last 4 games. Meanwhile, Florida just keeps winning SEC titles. Granted, that's kind of like winning NBA East titles. Doesn't really mean that much. But rumor has it, we'll see, that former Notre Dame quarterback Malik Zaire is going to be going to Gainesville this year as a transfer. He could be a graduate transfer. He's better than anyone else they have right now. I mean, that's not saying a whole lot. But Michigan versus Florida, that second week of the college football season, could be very good. How about Western Michigan versus USC? The Broncos won 13 games last year. They have won 29 games over the past 3 seasons. So it's not like they're just a one-season wonder. They lost a few starters. Meanwhile, Southern Cal should be loaded. Of course, they returned quarterback Sam Darnold. They did lose some people too, though. Some talented people that went to the NFL. The Trojans are opening as a 20-point favorite. This shouldn't be close, right? USC, Sam Darnold, they're going to roll. But sometimes crazy things happen in that opening week. BYU versus LSU. Former guest on the Daily Dose, LSU head coach Ed Orgeron.
Good conversation.
Will be leading the Tigers against the BYU team, and they already will have a game under their belt as well. Here's a question I have. How much loyalty does LSU truly have for Ed Orgeron? Because I kind of feel like not that much.
Rejection.
Try losing to BYU right out of the gates and see how much that bayou starts to boil. LSU cannot afford to lose there. Texas A&M versus UCLA, two schools that always seem to have lofty expectations and probably don't really live up to them. Well, somebody is going to have to win this game. The Bruins have Josh Rosen throwing to receivers that can't catch. The Aggies have Trevor Knight just throwing passes all over the place. Who knows where they go? Neither team has much defense. We could see a decent game here. West Virginia versus Virginia Tech. Both teams going to be rebuilding a little bit, but the winner of this game gets the Burning Couch Trophy. So, yeah, it's not bad, not bad. And then finally, that very first full week of college football, we have a big dog, people. This legitimately, it could be a national championship preview. This could be one of the biggest season openers ever. We could be seeing number one Alabama versus number two Florida State. We'll see what happens when the polls come out. That could be how this comes down. Nick Saban versus Jimbo Fisher. Jalen Hurts versus DeAndre Francois. Top defense versus top defense. And you know what? Florida State's defense might be a little bit better, at least at this stage in the season. Delusional fan base versus delusional fan base. Folks, this game is going to have it all, and it is going to be in that very first week. It is just 87 days away from college football, and good college football at that. We have a Daily Dose top five that I'm telling you, you do not want to miss. Is LeBron James in the same class as Michael Jordan?
Don't believe the hype.
Oh, yep. You better get ready for that one.
These days, good sense is in short supply. Amid the fear-mongering and fake news, it can be hard to take a breath and tune in to what's real. But every week, The Economist provides clarity on the issues that matter to you. Get a free print copy of The Economist. Text free issue to 78070 for a sensible, more considered view. Text free issue to 78070 now. The Economist. Clear thinking in an uncertain world. SMS charged as per tariff. New subscribers only. Offer ends 31st July 2017. Further T's and C's apply. Visit economist.com/terms/specific offers for more details.
Just a quick reminder. Make sure that you head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose to do any shopping that you might need to do. Loot Crate delivers the best in merchandising and collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. You can go order a crate, a subscription to crates, or even individual items. The newest crate is called Alter Ego, and it features items from Spider-Man, Marvel Comics, Transformers, and DC Comics. Explore the secret nature of some of pop culture's favorite heroes. Of course, Loot Crate has shirts, they've got hoodies, comic books, figurines, hats. They've even got stuff for your pets over there. You're going to like the quality of the stuff that you get. It's not some fake knockoff stuff. It's the real licensed stuff. You can always go back and find stuff from past crates as well. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you place your order at checkout, just put Daily Dose in your coupon box. We'll get you 10% off your order. So be sure to go do any shopping that you might have to do over at Loot Crate. .com/Daily Dose. As we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose top five. I know, might be a little controversial. I know there's going to be some people that don't like it, but this does seem to be a hot topic right now on a number of sports shows. Is LeBron James the greatest ever? Is LeBron James better than Michael Jordan? Is LeBron James at least in the conversation with Michael Jordan? Makes for some great conversations. But I've got a few problems with it. Now, I am not, for the record, saying LeBron James can't definitely get there, I guess, sort of, in a way. LeBron James can be on the Mount Rushmore. He can be among the elite. But he can't pass Mike. And I'm going to give you five reasons why he can't pass Mike. Number five on our list. I realize that when Michael Jordan played, he played in more of a watered-down league than back in the 50s or 60s or even the 70s and early 80s. When Jordan played, there were 27 or 29 teams in the league when he won his titles. There are now 30 teams in the league. Doesn't sound like a huge difference, but that's 12 to 15 players per team different. It was even tougher when Magic and Bird and Kareem and those teams, Will Chamberlain, Bill Russell, all those teams going back. It was even worse. There were only like 22 teams. There were 15 teams. There were 16 teams, whatever it might be. That's a huge difference. And let's talk about depth for a minute, because another conversation that's starting to come out is this Golden State team one of the best teams ever? I don't know. I mean, I guess we can discuss it. The best teams, personally, that I have ever seen are the Showtime Lakers, the mid-80s, what, 85, 86, right in that area, Boston Celtics, and those 90 Bulls. And those 90s Bulls. The Warriors do have 4 to 5 All-Stars. But let's be honest, the depth on that team is kind of embarrassing. I mean, they're going to JaVale McGee and Zaza Pachulia to play big minutes for them. Compare that to some of those teams back then. I mean, Boston was bringing in Bill Walton, Scott Wedman. The Lakers were bringing in Michael Cooper, A.C. Green, Michael Thompson, and even Chicago. They had Steve Kerr, John Sally, Tony Kukoc coming off the bench. That's a completely different level. The watered-down competition changes things today. It has a different feel. It's a different league than it was at that time. And I also want to look at not just the watered-down league, but the fact that LeBron James has never faced any competition in the Eastern Conference. That's also part of this number five. And I realize, I understand, there are those that say Michael Jordan never beat anyone in the finals that was worth anything. He never beat anyone in the finals that won anything. Of course, some of the reason they never won anything was because he didn't let them win anything. He beat a banged-up Lakers squad. I understand that. Did still have Magic, but Byron Scott wasn't healthy. It was a beat-up team. He did beat a very physical Portland team, and that was a talented team. Were they one of the all-time greats? No, but that was a physical, tough Portland team. He beat a very talented Seattle squad with Gary Payton and the Sean Kemp and the Detlef Schrempf. That was a good team. And then he beat Charles Barkley and the Phoenix Suns, and he twice beat Karl Malone and John Stockton. Okay, that might not be a murderer's row. And like people are saying, in the finals, he may not have beat teams that had won anything. But wait a second. He did beat people who had won things because he had to get there first, unlike LeBron James, who's going through a down east every single year because Michael Jordan had to beat the bad boy Detroit Pistons. He had to beat the Patrick Ewing Knicks, and he even beat the Shaquille O'Neal Orlando Magic. Hey, those three teams were loaded, so don't act like he was just beating some nobodies in the finals. He had to get there first. Now, in the finals, LeBron James has beaten the Warriors. He beat the San Antonio Spurs, and then he beat Oklahoma City. I don't know if any of those teams can truly compare to the teams in just the East that Jordan beat, but here's the thing. You can't name a single team that the Cavaliers have beaten to get to the finals. The Cavaliers just went 12-1 in the Eastern Conference playoffs, and they are getting smacked by Golden State. The East is bad, and it's been bad for years. The watered-down league and the lack of competition in the East is just one of the reasons LeBron James isn't in the Michael Jordan conversation. He just can't be, because he hasn't gone through the same competition that Jordan did. And beyond Jordan, Magic, Bird, Chamberlain, Russell, Kareem, those guys went through more competition than what is in the league today. That's just how it is. Number four on our list of why LeBron James is not in that conversation. And this might be one of the bigger ones. This could move up, actually. People aren't afraid of LeBron James like they were of Mike. I'm sorry. Michael Jordan put the fear of God into his opponents. Very good players. They talk about it. Do not get Michael mad. Hey, we haven't seen that with LeBron. Last year, Klay Thompson called him out. And yes, LeBron came back and beat him. But people aren't scared of him. Nikola Jokic win LeBron this year. Steph has gone at LeBron in the finals already a couple times this year. KD is going right at him. Hey, I'm not going to argue that he's not a great player. He's an amazing player. He's just not a cold-blooded killer that Michael Jordan was. Michael Jordan would ruin your career. Here's a quick story. And I don't know if I've told this story on the Dose before. Here's a quick story. Do you remember a kid coming out of Syracuse back in the late 80s named Billy Owens? Billy Owens was coming out of Syracuse. And when he came to the NBA, he went to the Golden State Warriors. Of course, the Golden State at the time was horrible. But the thought was, and many experts were saying, Billy Owens might be the next Michael Jordan. So early in Billy Owens' rookie season, the Bulls went to Golden State and faced the Warriors. And on the first possession, Jordan scores, and Billy Owens is going to be bringing the ball up against him. Jordan jumps up, full court press, rips the ball, scores. Next possession, Owens is going to be bringing it up the court. Rips the ball, scores. Now at this point, guys on his team are like, dude, I mean, he's just a kid. He's just a rookie. Let him bring it up. Not Jordan. Because Jordan was a cold-blooded killer. Jordan went and did it a third time, and finally the Warriors had to pull Billy Owens out and get him out of the game. After the game, they asked Jordan, why were you picking on that kid? And Jordan said, because going into the game, people were saying he might be the next Michael Jordan. And I had to let him know that he's not. Oh. Jordan would ruin your career. You didn't talk trash to him. You didn't go at him because people were scared to death of Michael Jordan. I hate to tell you. And it's not that they don't respect him. He's a talented player. They aren't scared of LeBron James like they were with Michael Jordan. Because Michael Jordan would wreck your career. And he did it to a few different players. He did it to some guys on his own team. He would ruin you. He was cold-blooded. I don't know how he would have done in this area of like social media and stuff. I don't know about that. But I know this. I know you would not go at Michael. That just wasn't done. Because people are afraid of him. Number three on our list. Three. It's totally unfair right now to be comparing LeBron James to these all-time greats just yet because LeBron's career isn't over. Yes, he has now played in the NBA for 14 seasons. So we have a pretty good footprint to look at. But he's not done. And it goes both ways. What if LeBron wins two or three more titles? That changes it a little bit. But what if he never wins another title? That also changes it a little bit. So the fact that LeBron's career isn't quite over yet, there's still more basketball to be played, we kind of have to wait till it's over before we can really put him in. Oh, no, he's right there with Jordan. Well, not yet. He's not done yet, though. Let's wait and see. Moving on to number two. Number two on our list of why LeBron can't be in that conversation just yet. Comparing generations, let alone different positions, is kind of impossible. Could LeBron James play against the bad boy Detroit Pistons? Maybe. He'd have to have a serious adjustment, I'll say that, because knocking a guy to the floor wasn't just something that happened now and then. It was commonplace, and you dealt with it. And if you wanted to fight, they were more than happy to do that too. Now let's go to the other way. What could Michael Jordan do in this era of no hand checks, and you can't touch him, and you can't hang on him, and he can just cut through the key free and clear whenever he wants? I don't think I'm exaggerating to say he'd be scoring 50 to 55 points a game. Okay, forget Michael Jordan. Put him to the side. What would Larry Bird do in this era of shooting three-point shots? Very, very different. Okay, forget Bird. What would Pete Maravich do with a three-point shot? Think of the amount of points he was putting up. He was doing it without a three-point shot. It's so tough to compare different eras. There's different training. It's different coaching. There's different rules. Don't you think it's just a little bit weird? Maybe just a little bit weird? That we only consider today's athletes to be the greatest players? Today's games are always the greatest games. Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback. LeBron James is the greatest basketball player. You know, it was just a few years ago that I heard, you might remember this, USC versus Notre Dame football game, the Bush Push game, was the greatest game ever in the history of college football. I don't know that you hear that much now. It's a very good game, very entertaining game, right up to the finish. Was it the greatest game ever? I don't know. Or were you just caught up in the emotion of what you had just seen? That seems more likely. And once that emotion fades, we start to go, well, maybe it wasn't the greatest I've ever seen. I've seen some good ones. There's been some good ones. And if we go back a little farther, there's some good ones. Yeah, well, maybe not. We get so caught up in the emotion today, and we get so caught up in today is all that matters. Let the emotion wear off, and then take a look. And that's when I say, even with LeBron's career not being done, it's not just as soon as he finishes, then we can evaluate. It needs to finish and we need to take some space because you're still caught on the emotion of whatever it's going to be. We're already starting to get into the, well, Golden State's the greatest team ever. We're already getting into that talk. Slow down. Okay, so let's look back. The top five reasons LeBron James is not in that conversation yet. He's played in watered down leagues with less competition. He didn't put the fear of God into his opponents like Michael did. His career's not over yet. And comparing generations and different positions, because let's be honest, LeBron doesn't play a shooting guard like MJ did. He's more of a distributor. He's more of a facilitator. He's more comparable to a Magic Johnson than he is a Michael Jordan. And if you just want to go titles, he doesn't have the titles of either Jordan or Johnson just yet. That's our number two reason. Number one reason that LeBron James is not on the same plane with Michael Jordan. You can't change the past. See, LeBron James has gone to 7 straight NBA finals. That is impressive in any generation. Doesn't matter whose. That's impressive in any generation. I'll give you that. Jordan went 6-0 in the finals. Magic went 5-4 in the finals. He got there 9 times. Bird went 3-2 in the finals. Currently, LeBron James is 3-4. And we'll see if he can find a way to win this one. Really looks like he could be 3-5 by the time this is over. We'll see. Here's the problem for LeBron. As great as that is, and it is great, You can't just wipe away the bad stuff and pretend it didn't happen because he has won the crappy East every year. You can't pretend the announcement never happened. You can't pretend the not three, not four never happened. But more importantly than any of that, and I know that was the thing that got a lot of people on the wrong side of LeBron James. Forget that stuff. More importantly, you can't pretend he didn't quit against Boston in 2010 when the Cavs got beat by 32 in Game 5. You can't just erase the five-game series against the Spurs in 2014 when LeBron had an all-star Miami team and could have won that series and should have won that series, and it only went five games. You can't act like that same all-star team didn't get beat by Dirk Nowitzki, and I literally can't name another player from that Dallas Mavericks team in 2011. And I've seen him even recently. I know what a lot of the LeBron James fans are saying. Well, yeah, but that was when he was young. I just saw him not feel like playing in Game 3 this year against Boston. You can't pick and choose. You have to look at the full package, and you can't change the past of what LeBron James has already done in his career, winning some of the titles that he has. The three that he has, and going to those finals out of the East doesn't change some of the stuff that's already taken place. You can't pick and choose. See, Michael Jordan didn't go out like that. Magic Johnson didn't go out like that. Neither did Larry. Neither did Kareem. Neither did Wilt. Neither did Bill Russell. That and that alone is the biggest reason LeBron can't be up there with Mike. He can be in the conversation for greatest players. I can't put him above the Magics and the Kareems, and especially not the Michael Jordan. It just doesn't work. There are too many reasons against it. Hey, next week on the Daily Dose, I am telling you right now, I've got something special for you. I'm tracking down a guest that you do not want to miss. Hey, if you want to recommend the podcast, and we would appreciate that so much, please let your friends, family, and coworkers, they can subscribe to the podcast pretty much anywhere fine podcasts are hosted. Of course, you can get it on iTunes, but if you go over to blogtalkradio.com, they've got every single episode. Also, make sure that you stop by our podcast network, rogueintel.com. The Daily Dose is a proud member of the Rogue Intel Podcast Network, and you know, they've got a number of other podcasts over there you are going to like and get addicted to. Go check out rogueintel.com. If you get a chance, please go to wherever it is that you download the show, click that subscribe or follow button, and feel free to click share and send the show to someone that you might know that might like the show. Feel free to contact us with what's on your mind. You can email us at dailydosesports@gmail.com, or you can find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Hey, I have to say thank you all for listening. I appreciate you coming in and listening to the Daily Dose every single week. It is much appreciated. We want to keep this going and get it going bigger and better than we ever have before. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next week.
These days, good sense is in short supply. Amid the fear-mongering and fake news, it can be hard to take a breath and tune in to what's real. But every week, The Economist provides clarity on the issues that matter to you. Get a free print copy of The Economist. Text free issue to 78070 for a sensible, more considered view. Text free issue to 78070 now. The Economist. Clear thinking in an uncertain world. SMS charged as per tariff. New subscribers only. Offer ends 31st July 2017. Further T's and C's apply. Visit economist.com/term/specific offers for more details.